speed and balls today, Paul.
Oh, my God.
That's your response.
Yeah, that's all I got.
You're gone. Paul, we have Nardi Cool and G Black here. Geronimo Black, right?
Yes.
G Black. Yes. It's the Lousy Weather Media main show episode 155. I'm Sean Ast.
UD.
You know,
Paul Wolf.
Fucked me up there.
This is real chill, guys.
Bob
Caparga.
Your mic's not on.
Oh, shit.
These? Caparga. Some more.
Four times a charm.
Bob Caparga. It's this cable.
Oh, no.
This cable's fucked. One more time.
Hello?
No, nothing. Nothing. It's dead as fuck. That means Josie ain't working either. Go ahead. Go again.
Hello?
You were sounding fine in sound check.
Yeah, it's weird.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, this is part of the show.
Yeah,
this is the good shit. This is what people tune in for. They're like, man, I hope shit's broken again.
And Sean's messing with the microphone.
Oh, shit, I hear a Bobby.
I only have the cord in.
All right, just halfway. Stay there the whole time. We're good.
Halfway.
Yeah, there you go.
Halfway in.
Good?
Halfway in works.
Comparta.
We have Josie over there. Say hi.
Hello.
Oh, shit. Anyway, so...
154.
155, motherfucker.
I missed one, that's why.
I before I came here today, I had a cup of coffee,
mm-hmm.
and then I was handed a free 24-ounce NOS energy drink. You guys seen those things? They're like big with this twist-off cap.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I've drank 3 Red Bulls in a row. I could handle a 24-ounce fucking NOS, you know what I mean? Like, so I poured it into a cup and just started sipping on it, and by about halfway through, I'm like, my heart's pounding. I'm like walking around singing country songs and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like...
That's like a side effect on the can.
I'm looking for stuff to do. Yeah.
Bust out in the country.
On the can, it says like enhanced mental focus, and I was like, I am enhanced right now. I am trying, like, it was, I was speeding so bad that like my stomach was like upset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you ever had that?
Definitely.
Like, you know, like back in the day, back in high school, when you'd eat an Adderall, like the fucking ADD kids sold you, you know what I mean?
They always had the adverse effect on me. I got very tired and focused.
Because you needed it.
Hey, yeah, I have ADHD, yeah. Everyone's like, I want to clean. I'm like, can't we just sit, guys?
Yeah, like, you the ADD kid at school will sell you the Adderall for $1, and then fucking by fifth period, you're like, oh, what the fuck did I eat? What did I do to
Adderall.
Myself? That was me today, dude, emptying coffees and shit. So, G Black today is here, right? Yeah, Josie said you guys are old friends.
Yeah, we went to school together for a very, very long
time. Went to school where at? When she went to North or where at?
Jennings.
Yeah,
and then, yeah. I think, Nardi, you went to Bettis, right?
Yeah, I went to Bettis, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out.
Way back.
Yeah.
Go ahead, what are you talk again? I lost you.
Oh, shit.
Okay, we got Bob, great.
Yeah, we have Bob, perfect, Josie.
Sweet. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, and we're back.
Hey, we're back. Paul, if you guys didn't know, was missing last week.
Yeah, I was gone.
He went on vacation.
Yeah, to beautiful Saginaw, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I boiled the Flint water.
That was really? Drank Flint, Michigan water?
Didn't mean to.
TR
was making noodles, and I was like, hey, you filled it up with the purifier, right? And he was like, oh, fuck. I was like, well, we can't ruin dinner.
Well, he boiled noodles.
Yeah, so I'm boiling it. Yeah, usually you can kill most of it, but I don't know if lead boils off.
No, all of it, dude.
Does lead boil
back
off?
Back in sixth grade, I literally went into a dirty-ass puddle at Camp Fitch, grabbed a cup of water, put it in a pot, boiled it on a fire, and we drank it. It was like part of the camping experience.
Whoa.
So you should be all
that
right.
That was part of Flint, Michigan experience. No, it was a really cool place.
Wait a minute. So
yeah.
When you say he was missing, did you know where he was? Or?
Yeah.
I wasn't really missing.
Okay.
I just wasn't on the show that
week. Yeah. I meant that he wasn't here last week.
Yeah.
And then I kept referring to him being on vacation, and he had to keep being like, I ain't on vacation, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's what I said a lot.
Gosh.
Because me and my band went out there to record our EP.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So he considers it recording music. I considered it vacation.
Yeah,
he brought me a C show with my name on it.
Yeah,
so that's a
I got
vacation,
Josie a license plate.
Hold on, wait, what? You brought him a present and her a present.
You kept telling me I was on vacation, so I said, "Fuck him." No, I didn't bring either of them presents. Fuck all you guys.
So you found my name on the license plate?
No, yeah, I was spelled wrong. I got Sean. It's Shawn and shit.
Oh, fuck off. So you guys, you are both Akron area rappers, correct?
Yes.
Am I wrong in saying that?
Right.
So I was listening to some Geronimo Black earlier. G Black. What do you like to go by? I know Josie already asked you, but I wasn't listening.
Honestly, I don't really have a preference. Has it, whatever's comfortable for you.
Was it originally Geronimo and then it's kind of dialed back to G Black, or how did that work?
It's still Geronimo. I just go by G Black just to make it shorter.
But I was listening to a couple of songs earlier and I was really impressed with, like, I was like, man, this sounds like Nas. Like, this sounds like, you know what I mean? It doesn't sound like it don't. A lot of times, last time we had Koozie here, like, I was telling him how refreshing it is to hear shit that doesn't sound like it's from fucking Houston. You know what I mean? Akron rappers have sounded like they're from Houston or New Orleans for the past 10 years. Yeah. It's good. It's good to, like, hear people, like, fucking, like, take initiative in making something original.
I appreciate that, man. Honestly, it's funny you say Nas, because Nas is literally the reason that I started rapping.
Really?
Yeah, just... I mean, because I've always loved music. I grew up in a house where music was constantly playing. But, when I heard Nas, for some reason, it was different. Like, it was...
Nas is the type of person really that can make me cry.
Yeah.
I've literally, he literally made me cry. I always said, the first time I ever heard My President is Black from Jeezy, when fucking Nas versus first comes on, and he starts just talking about oppression and what it means to kids to fucking see this type of shit and shit like that, I literally shed a tear. I was in the car like, this is so fucking powerful.
That's music.
Yeah, to have somebody that can hit you with 16 bars that'll make you tear up, you're like, what the fuck?
He a poet, man. Mm. I love it.
So how long have you been doing music now?
Damn, bro, what was that? O2?
So, wow, like 14 years, okay?
Yeah, long time.
So, you have your, like, you put out mixtapes previously, right?
Yes.
And this is going to be, like, the first, like, real record?
Yeah, it's my first.
Is it, like, original beats in-house and shit, or?
Well, I mean, under the first mixtape, technically, I guess, could be considered an album. It was all original beats, 14 tracks long.
But were they all stolen, so you couldn't sell it, or?
I plead the fifth.
Okay.
No, yeah, this is my first project that I would refer to as an album.
Okay. So what's it called? The
soundtrack.
The soundtrack. And then what's the name of the two mixtapes? I was trying to find them online. Are they out on the internet anywhere? Are they
honestly,
tracks online, kind of?
They're out there somewhere because they were out there. I don't know. I went back in check maybe like a year or so ago. I don't really listen to my own music, honestly.
How soon till the soundtrack comes out?
Soon.
It's good. Soon. TBA announced. All right. I'm with you. But how long have you been working on it, recording it?
Man, honestly, the two mixtapes were born out of me working on this album. Mm-hmm. I've been working on this honestly my entire life since I started rapping.
Even
when I didn't know I was working on it, but I say maybe the first mixtape was 2010, so like 6 years.
So do you look at it like this? These are the songs you've been working your whole life towards, and the other ones were kind of just like bars or songs you were trying to get out there type thing?
Not so much as it was just a growth process, going through and experiencing different events in life, growing as an artist, as a man, as a father, as a husband. You know, it's the soundtrack. The subtitle is "Music from and Inspired by Life." So I always like to think about what if life was a movie. What would what songs would be the soundtrack to my life? And I would pick, you know, different songs by different artists. But then I started to realize like that's not specific to my situation.
Yeah.
So as an artist, I took the challenge creatively to create that soundtrack myself.
So you, instead of being like, all right, this song describes when I get in the car in the morning and go to work. This song describes blah 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 blah. You were just like, I'm writing the song about getting in the car in the morning and going to work.
That's hilarious because that's literally the idea behind the opening sequence.
Really?
My birthday is September 3rd, so the first song is called September 3rd. But I wanted the album to feel like I look for music to, when I get in the car and drive to work every day to a job that I don't make shit and I hate going to, I need to have a reason to want to go do this shit, right? So I try to start my day off in the most positive mental space possible. So that's how the album starts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because for the most part, outside of like mixing a few songs here and there, I mean, it's pretty much done already.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted it to start there and pretty much end where I am currently, just in the headspace of it's basically about self-empowerment, honestly. Mm-hmm. Using my journey as a mechanism to drive that concept.
Yeah.
But I just want people to feel good. And
so where's Nardi Cool fit into all this?
Well, because this is my bro from back in the day. So mm-hmm. The stories that... It's funny you said that. Honestly, I felt like I couldn't do this album without him being on it. Like, at one point, there was no other features. Right now, there's only two. Him and my actual brother. But I felt like with this story being about my journey to self-realization and trying to manifest these dreams and goals that I set for myself, it wouldn't be right, or it wouldn't feel right for me to not have the person that was there with me from the beginning. Mm. Because he taught me how to rap, quite honestly. Like, I really just wanted to be the engineer guy behind the scenes. But just watching him and I don't even know if he actually knew that I was just, you know, studying, picking apart different things that he did. And that's what taught me to rap, honestly.
So are you, have you been putting out mixtapes and working on records and stuff like that too?
Or, I mean,
or have you, or have you just been working together
like
type
Dr.
thing?
Dr. Dre.
You're in the background putting together beats. Or?
I'm featured here and there. You know, I've been doing a lot of features for real. But as far as my own album, I've been working on it for so long, and I think my problem is I'm my biggest critic. You know what I'm saying? And I sit on my music while I'm working
on it.
That
you are Dr. Dre.
For so long. Yeah. So it just be like,
how long is he still never put out the Detox, right? That never came out.
I'm chasing him right now, you know. But
that was like 14 years of him being like, Detox coming, y'all. Like, he got all buff and shit too.
Yeah.
He got super buff. It was just like, Detox coming. And it never fucking came out. And then so he finally did put out an album. It was just it was like everybody else rapping, and it was a soundtrack to his fucking movie or whatever the fuck. Like, that's how he did it. So that's gonna be you. You're gonna be putting together songs. You're gonna have Snoop Dogg and Eve.
Nah.
Oh, Eminem, yeah.
Nah, okay. Hey, if I could, I would. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah. Surprised you were like, so Dr. Pepper commercials was coming up.
But you know,
making your own headphones.
I'll be able to bring you a little bit of Geronimo.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? And some, you know, some Nardi Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Some D-Boy the Ghost.
That's what I meant. I just meant hypothetical Snoop Dogg. If there is a hypothetical Snoop Dogg.
There's
you know, we're from the north side, so we don't do too much west coasted and western, you know.
So, yeah, the soundtrack is still... So, what are you looking at? Like, a couple more months till this is out, or what?
Honestly, I don't know in particular. I mean, I'm a planner, so I like...
I was about to say, are you a perfectionist, too, over, like...
Yeah. Honestly, even more so than him. I like to have contingency plans, so... Best case scenario, tomorrow. You know, not tomorrow, but like I said, at this point, it's just a matter of mixing it. So it could be as soon as a few weeks. It could be.
Are you mixing it, or are you sending it somewhere to get mixed and mastered?
No, I'm mixing it at the.
How hard is that? Like going through all of your stuff.
Oh, not literally me.
Oh, okay, right on.
I go to Just a Dream and Kenmore. But I like to think that I'm pretty hands on in the process. Just because I'm a perfectionist, so it's like everything has to be just right.
So do you get into arguments with the people when they're like, this shit sounds great?
Does.
They'll be like, this sounds great, and you'll be the guy going, no, take that out. Or you'll be like, no, this sounds great, dude. Like,
I believe in the spirit of collaboration. Like, you know, you can have the best rapper or the best artist in the world, but if they don't have an engineer who's in his sweet spot at that same point, a producer who's in his sweet spot at that same point. So I think that everybody plays a role, but at the end of the day, if this is me, I'm right in this situation. Like, you know, you can't really tell me what my vision is.
Yeah, I've been recording a couple guys lately, and there's one song he did, and I had him do ad-libs through the hook, and fucking it was not a day later, he's messaging me like, I need those ad-libs out. I hate the way it sounds. I need them out. And I was like, dude, it makes your fucking hook. Yeah. Like, it makes it. I'm leaving it. And he's like, I need it out. And I was like, well, you're paying me. So I guess I'm going off your fucking word, because I want to keep making money.
Yeah.
So, but then it's funny because, like, the very last time he does the hook, I left him in. Only on the very last hook. Like, I was like, they're fucking staying
here. Does he know that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was like, he's like, all right, it works, whatever. But
see, I think that might be one of those things where it depends on the person, because sometimes you can overthink it. Like, I definitely had stuff where...
That's what I kept trying to tell him. Yeah. I was like, no, dude, you just don't like the way your voice sounds or whatever, you know what I mean? I'm like, but to somebody listening, they're not even really going to notice it's there, if that makes sense. It's a fucking ad-lib. It's like just a noise in the background. I'm like... Like, you hear it because you recorded it. Like,
right. Sticks out like a sore thumb to him.
Yeah. I'm like, other people aren't even going to really notice it.
See, I'm that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, but what I've learned is that just to try to be as professional as possible about it and not, like, you know, go at my engineer's neck if something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But, you know, but a lot of people do. They take that personally. Because, I mean, at the same time, as an artist, the engineer is an artist, too. So they have something that they can contribute in terms of, you know, trying to find a middle ground between your vision and theirs. So,
when you're recording, it takes a lot. Like, it's... Recording is hard because you want the music to sound as authentic and real, like the motherfucker is sitting right there at the table saying it to me. But at the same time, it's got to sound over the top and produced and put together. You know what I mean?
That's what everyone's used to hearing.
Well, I mean, what I'm trying to say is, like, it can't just sound like some forced ass bullshit.
Right.
You know what I mean? It has to sound original and authentic. Like, it has to sound like somebody, like, when it comes to hip hop, it has to sound like somebody went in the booth and just fucking spit 16 and murdered it and walked out, dropped the fucking microphone and walked out. You know what I mean? Like, it can't sound like somebody spit two lines and another two lines and it's
all chopped up and stuff.
Yeah, you gotta fucking, it's hard to come up with something that,
make it organic but good feeling. I got you.
Yeah. So the soundtrack, I'm interested in this.
Yeah.
You want to play one of your songs? I got them up here. We take a little break, listen to one of your songs, and we'll talk more about your life. Which one? What do you want me to play? I got your SoundCloud open.
You got 10,000 hours?
Yeah, it should be the... I did have your SoundCloud open. But I think that's the very first track on here.
Should be.
Series opening and shit. So what is 10,000 hours about? Go ahead and give us...
10,000 hours, I got the title from the 10,000 hour rule. That basically says that it takes 10,000 hours of practice to become a master at any craft. And the song basically, the first verse is kind of a reintroduction of myself to my audience. The second verse is more of a history lesson, I guess, for lack of a better term. And it starts at, you know, when we were 15 and start rapping and up until now. And it's basically, honestly, the verse that summarizes the entire album in 16 bars.
Hmm. All right, I'm going to go ahead and play it. Let's take a little break real quick.
Power, but I feel my time is now, cause I put in 10,000 hours. I've been working, grinding, putting all of my time in. Working, grinding, making something that's timeless. I've been working, grinding. It takes patience to get power, but I feel my time is now, cause I put in 10,000 hours. They asking Black where you been at, but I'm back here like I never left. Looking at the game like I never came. Going raw dog, I'm the fresh breath. Bringing life back to this whole thing. Full of doppelgangers, y'all so the same. Talking big shit like I fell off, but y'all been here, never sold a thing. Y'all been wasting y'all own time. Never on schedule, always on time. On my own level, y'all won't climb. Build my own label, no cosign. Don't compare me to no local nigga. Looking worldwide like I'm online. Won't stop till I pass Hov and the name next to the goat mine. Won't fall from the goal line, but my own mind like a gold mine. Meaning my thoughts like a buried treasure. Dig deep enough and I'm gon' shine. If you keeping up, you see it's go time. Like a broke clock, it took no time. 10,000 hours to perfect the craft. I've been practicing and I coach mine. Took discipline not to jump the gun. Now I jump high enough, I can touch the sun. Took the red pill, not the blue pill. And got unplugged, can't touch the one. I don't know what y'all frontin' for. No gravity, you can't touch the flow. Y'all had a shot, but it didn't go. Y'all should have a seat and get comfortable. I've been working, I've been grinding, putting all of my time in. Making something that's timeless. Waiting for the right time and now I'm working, grinding. It takes patience to get power, but I feel my time is now, cause I put in 10,000 hours. I've been working, grinding, putting all of my time in. Working, grinding, making something that's timeless. I've been working, grinding. It takes patience to get power, now, cause I put in 10,000 hours. I started spitting it like 15 with Young Tate and already cooling them. I had to find myself with the 16s by 17 and couldn't fool with them. Hayes came around 18 and when X came, we had the 18. Round 19 is when we found Ghost and was so dope to take both coats. Right when shit was about to pop, Hayes got locked and the shit stopped and the team split and we switched gears. This much bigger than hip hop. Had to stand on my own too, but despite the fact we gon' support each other, started going by G Black, dropped Black Planet, got the beacon cover. Followed that up with Think Free, then out the blue, that's when I lost my mind. Feel like the world crashed, caught in a whirlwind. I thought I was done, I almost lost my mind. Feel like a lost soul in the lost time, trying to find myself, I just lost time. Then I thought about what she'd want me to do, she'd want me to push. I'm back on my grind, back to prove what I've been new. Had to rap about what I've been through, so the soundtrack is my life story. I apologize for the interlude, had to put the facts in the view. Back to fill the void, it's only been a few to hold the city down. I'm about to build it up, the album on the way, I'm back in the studio. I've been working, grinding, putting all of my time in, making something that's timeless, waiting for the right time, and now I'm working, grinding. It takes patience to get power, but I feel my time is now, cause I put in 10,000 hours. I've been working, grinding, putting all of my time in, working, grinding, making something that's timeless. I've been working, grinding. It takes patience to get power, but I feel my time is now, cause I put in 10,000 hours. I've been working, grinding, putting all of my time in, working, grinding, waiting for the right time, and now I'm working, grinding. It takes patience to get power, working, grinding. I put in 10,000 hours, working, grinding, putting all of my time in, making something that's timeless, waiting for the right time, and now I'm working, grinding. Putting all of my time in, making something that's timeless, waiting for the right time, and now I'm working, grinding. It takes patience to get power, but I feel my time is now, cause I put in 10,000 hours. I've been working.
Hell yeah, I like that.
Thank you, thank you.
You, I could definitely tell it. It's I would say it's almost a little more mainstream than the other stuff I was listening to.
Because I'm at a point where I feel like I used to be that backpack rapper that kind of had a chip on my shoulder. Like if it wasn't over Boom Bap, I wasn't gonna fuck with it just because I didn't want to feel.
If it wasn't like a fucking like Curtis Blow beat, yeah, you're like I'm like, done.
Yeah, but my boy one day, LDG, actually said something to me that resonated with me on a level that really made me reconsider. And he was like, you know, kind of, if you refuse to play the game, how do you expect to win it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had to kind of reevaluate my position. And at the same time, growing as an artist, I looked at it as a challenge as well. So a lot of the sounds on the album will be different from my previous work, but more so just growth as opposed to, you know, selling out or
something. I was about to say I didn't mean it as like you were going mainstream or anything like
that. But that's how people will take it though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so where the beats coming from, who's making them? Is it a bunch of a collective of people, different producers, or you got an in-house person?
No, all the guys that I work with are guys that I found online.
Mm-hmm.
Just because
you like scouring Bandcamp or something like that, or
honestly, I used to fuck with like SoundClick and shit, but that's like dead. But YouTube, like just find guys and they like promote their you know, different beats there, and then they have the different websites. And but there's 18 tracks on the album.
Damn.
I guess 15 and 3 interludes, but the interludes have their individual instrumentals as well. But there's 18 tracks on the album. The same guy did 12 of the 18. Mm-hmm. So
it'll have a flow of a collective sound, kind of.
The guy that did that beat, actually. And that beat right there, when we tracked it out and mixed it, there was like 27 different instruments.
Really?
So, like, it has a very, very live, because the guy plays, you know, however many instruments.
So they're sending you, like, a project with each individual instrument, or are you just getting a wave of the beat?
No, project
with you're getting
that.
Oh,
wow. So you actually get to mix all of this stuff the way that you want it to, basically?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's neat.
And because you're the most proper way to get good sounding shit is to mix your vocals in with the actual beat project.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So that's why
also then you can cut out certain instruments at parts if you wanted to as well. Yeah.
I've been noticing some people starting to sell them like that instead of just selling high quality waves and shit so that you can get a little more in depth and stuff. A little more professional.
Really cool. For mixing purposes, it only makes sense.
Mm. So, all right, let's you wanted to plug the Basement Comedy Show 7 real quick.
September 24th, we have Jensen Strack, Walter Hemelgarn.
What'd you say? Like
Jensen Strack, my bad.
Strack.
Yeah, my bad. You put me on the spot, and I was like, oh, shit.
Let me try. Paul, we got a comedy show coming up.
What?
September 24th, guys, all right? We do this show. You guys, you're not familiar. We basically, since we started doing this podcast, we interview a lot of comedians and shit like that, and musicians. So we started doing like a showcase a few times a year where I open up my house and let all the people come in. I put it on Facebook all the time. I say, you're all invited. Like the last time we had, over 50 people. It was at the point where I had like 40 people in the basement and then people having satellite viewing parties on YouTube of what was going on in the basement. But we'll book comedians. This time we have Sean Boyd headlining. Hilarious guy. I actually have his DVD over here.
Yeah, I like the new setup over there, by the way. Looks really good.
He's the untypical black guy, and he can swim too. So that's Sean Boyd. He's headlining, and then we got Walter Hemelgarn, which is America's favorite juggalo. And we got Jensen Strock, which is a hilarious person as well.
Yeah, and Bad News Benny and the Night Fevers.
Bad News Benny and the Night Fevers are playing September 24th in my house, and then it'll be podcasted afterwards. That's what we do. We host the show in the house, then we also stream it live and podcast it following. So you'll be able to watch it on YouTube as it happens. And
where do you watch it on YouTube? What do you type in?
Lousy Weather Media.
Go just to in our... case they didn't know, I was trying to make it organic, my bad.
I was about to say, you're an idiot,
dude. Yeah, you're like, how long have you been doing this? I was like, I was trying to get that
have
plug
you
in
never
there.
Used YouTube? Like, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Exactly. You tell him, Bob. Let me hear your mic, because I don't think it's working.
Just keep calling me a dummy until it does. Just keep saying you're a dummy, Paul.
Fucking dummy.
No, nothing. There's nothing. This cable's fucked. Do I have another one of these, Paul?
No, I don't think so. I think we used the last one.
You sure? Yeah. Are they plugged in? Okay, anyway, but yeah, September 24th comedy show. So let's dial it back. Nardy Cool, young Nardy Cool, young Geronimo Black.
I ain't too young no more, you know.
Where are you guys originally from?
North side. Ohio.
So
I'm from Elizabeth Park, though, if you know where that was at. They knocked it down.
I was about to say, where was Elizabeth Park at?
North Street. You know where North Street is? At the bottom of Howard.
Where you're going up to...
like the bike trail and stuff.
Right? Yeah, the library? Exactly.
I take that road all the time.
I keep thinking of, the old flat projects that are all fucking condos now.
Yeah,
I got you. Yeah, the park ain't there no more. Yeah. It's all condos over there.
Before when they knocked it down, I was out of there, so I had to move up to the top of the hill.
Really? So you were living there when they knocked all that shit down? I always wondered, what the fuck did they do? Did they just be like, all right, we're going to fucking, you guys need to just get the fuck out? Or did they say, hey, we're going to put you somewhere until we give you a new home?
Well, basically, the people...
how the fuck does rebuilding projects go about? Because, like, the LeBron money and shit built, like, 6 or 7 of them around here, you know what I mean? Yeah, so
shout out to Brian, man. He do big things around here.
It's true.
Basically, man, we was on the left side of the street. Mm-hmm. The other kids was on the right side of the street. They moved them out first. You know what I'm saying? They had like a notice of a certain amount of time, like, well, we can place you here for a certain amount of time, you know, do you want to live in this area at these places or whatever?
Yeah.
And you know, until we rebuild this, and then you'll be first on the list if you want to come back, or you can stay where you are if you like it better. So, you know what I'm saying, long story short, they knocked it down, and
they were either like, they were like, here's a place we found where we can shuffle you all into, or you can go find your own place.
You know, here's a new neighborhood. Come over here and fight with these kids. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. I was about to
see how it go.
Yeah. So then they tore down the little park there, too.
They tore down the gym. Mm-hmm. That was the most important thing over there.
Yeah.
Because they used to whoop on everybody. Summit Lake, Joy Park. Across the street. I just had to plug that in.
It does look nicer down there, though, nowadays.
Because
I used to travel through there all the time. Because that's the main route from east side to west side. Straight up North Street.
Yeah.
If you need to get from fucking here, if you need to get from Goodyear Heights to fucking Highland Square or something, you know what I mean? That's exactly the route to fucking go.
Hell yeah.
So, where were you? You were in the same area, you were a different area?
Oh, he was on the bottom of the hill. I was at the top.
You're at the top of the hill. Mm-hmm. So, That's a fucked up hill, because that was the hill that cars literally used to die going up that hill, like in the 20s and 30s.
Are you talking about the one with the two railroad tracks?
Where on Howard Street?
Oh, okay, right. I thought you meant like the North Street going up, but I got you, Howard.
Those fucking hills on there are like straight up fucking. That's death.
Yeah.
You start going up that hill, you just, like, I mean, nowadays our cars can make it up it. But back in the day when those dudes used to crank cars and shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's a crazy hill.
Story. Yeah. So you had to deal with that all the time. Like, how the fuck am I going to get into downtown or fucking, or wherever, or down to the park or wherever the fuck?
Well, I mean, when it became a issue of my concern, I had a truck. So you know, my first.
Oh, you were up and down that bitch, cool. Yeah.
Four-wheel drive.
That's fine. Yeah, you need four-wheel drive to get up and down that shit. So you guys, when you were in school and shit, you play sports or anything like that, or was it strictly just fucking?
He played sports. I was just on a team.
So what were you doing? Football, football, basketball, baseball.
You want the truth? The whole truth.
Cross country.
Well, could've been Brian.
I play basketball, football, and tennis.
Tennis, really? So you did everything.
Yeah, I did everything.
All city and all of them.
So what was the? How did tennis come about? You guys had a good tennis team at the school?
Nope.
Or you were just like, you were like, he was good. Yeah. You were like, I'm gonna get into country clubs one day, motherfucker.
I mean, no, like really, what it was when we was young, it was this program that used to come down to our neighborhood, and it was called Say Yes to Tennis and No to Drugs.
Okay.
Who thought of that? Yeah. Here's something the kids will love. Say yes to tennis and like, no to drugs.
Yeah, they were like, yes and tennis rhyme, but... You
know, hit the green ball, not the green bud.
Nice.
Boom.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Did you make up the campaign?
No, but I should've, dude.
I was on the committee. We were spitballing.
You see how that worked out, but... only reason we used to play because you can win snacks and stuff. So shit, we hit the tennis ball, we winning donuts and all kind of shit. I won everything. So hey, I was playing. Yeah. I ended up getting good.
That's fine.
And they actually took me to a camp in Pittsburgh. Mm. I had won this little tournament, and then that's when I was like, okay.
You retired after that?
I was only number one. I was only in the fifth grade at that point in time, so I'm like, but I'm like, okay, I'm actually good at this shit.
Mm.
But then I hit middle school, and I'm like, well, we didn't have a tennis team anyway, but I'm like, I ain't playing this shit no more. You know, going into high school and all that, I'm like, I ain't about to be playing no damn tennis.
You're afraid that how it would strike your image?
He's nodding over here.
I'm like, really, though, because he, man, this dude, let me tell you, Nardy cool, like, cool, right? Because he was, like, so persuasive. Like, we used to have this shit in high school where I was, like, his agent because he was always, like, good at sports and shit. So at one point, he found this Nike shoe that nobody has seen before, and it was, like, it had to be like 03, like sophomore year. So it was like right after the LeBron 1 had came out. So people like, because, you know, for Bron, it was just another kid from the city.
Yeah. Bro.
So they was really buying that this was his, like, his shoe. Like, he got a deal with Nike in the 10th grade. And this was, and people.
And you
really
facilitated it.
Well, you know.
You facilitated that deal.
But yeah, man. So, no, it wouldn't have hurt his image because they believed anything he said. It was the gospel.
So when you're playing, you said you play football and basketball too?
Yeah.
You play those through high school and everything too?
I
play
basketball
just...
every year. My junior year, I only played a half a year because I quit.
All right. Shooting guard?
Point guard.
Point guard. I was close. I was going to
go with point guard.
All right. Football?
Left tackle.
I was going to say linebacker.
That's where they put me now, but in high school. Yeah, high school, I was probably about a little bit. You know,
you were like Bobby size?
A little beefier.
So we put you on, like, what, fucking safety or some shit?
Yeah, I was
or?
Playing corner. Corner
DB. Yeah. So, all right, so you're playing the sports. What were you doing?
You said
you were on teams.
I was cheering them on from the sideline. That's my bro, so I'm a, you know.
You were just I meant like in your day to day life. Were you playing skateboard? I was playing skateboard.
That's how you say it. That's how you say it.
Were you skateboarding, playing video games? Like, what was your day to day fucking music. Hobby back then? Just music? Listening to music?
Trying to get him off the field and into the studio.
So you fucking around with producing then?
You play well did you play any instruments, I was gonna say. Do you play any instruments? Nah. So it was there went Bobby. Like, it was funny.
I had so many
it was funny to hear Bobby. Like, he was like, they went
I got 30 loops when I was like maybe 15 or 16, and that was my shit.
Until like 3-4 in the morning in high school. That shit was crazy.
Hell yeah.
I turned this up or something because now it's fucking loud as fuck. There we go. All right. So you're just trying to get him playing music. When did you fucking start? When did you guys start recording and shit? You said 2002?
Had to be like 2002.
So was that like 9th, 10th grade?
Yeah, ninth grade.
Okay. Now,
we had our first situation like with a producer was so crazy because like back then like kids in high school was like just rapping on like the little handheld microphone with like do-rags over them.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's what we did.
We had linked up with this dude named Nigel who was like an older dude. He was like late 20s, so to us he was like an OG, whatever. Mm. But he had like all this professional studio equipment and shit.
Yeah.
So our shit automatically, when we recorded our first song, sounded better than everybody else's. So quality was something that early on I noticed was key because everybody liked our music just because you could really understand
quality
what you
is
said.
The. There's an old saying in like band, because me and Paul played in like metal bands and shit. Mm-hmm. And the old saying is always, the best sounding band is the best band at night. Everybody's going to walk away saying the band that sounded, because it's metal, we all sound the same and we're all gurgling. So the best
name of our first album,
gurgle. The best sonically sounding band is always the best band of the night. That's the band everybody goes home talking about and shit. So it definitely applies same way to recorded songs.
Yeah.
You know, whoever sounds the best. So you fucking were recording shit in 9th grade, 10th grade, and just start passing out songs to people. Or?
Well, I did the announcements in high school too.
You're plugging it every morning. That's sick.
And I had like all the editing programs, so I would edit out because we, you know, obviously cussed and killed.
We used
a lot
to play them for the basketball games and stuff. So,
really, so you're sitting there censoring your own songs, just like hitting the edit button.
I'm telling you,
that's funny.
Mute. That's sweet.
So you start playing shows. When did you start like playing out and it, taking the music to more people?
Okay, so our first performance was at the Voodoo.
That was probably like one of my second or third shows.
This was the single that was kind of like, because we felt like all of our songs was the one, but we thought like this is the one, right?
Yeah.
So we so excited to go perform, and we get up there. It's like, I mean, for the Voodoo, it was packed. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was
everywhere. And so we get up there to perform our song, and the DJ started playing it. And he screwed it, like chopped and screwed it. So it was just like super slow. So we had to perform like in slow motion. Like it was so terrible, bro. It was terrible.
Like when you started hearing the beat, where you're like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah,
and then you like gotta go with it.
Well, we here, so nice. We might as well.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Yeah,
instead of being like, "Cut that," what are you doing?
Yeah. You
slowed it down 50
BPM. Yeah, you have to go along with it because.
So yeah, after that, we
here now.
We didn't perform for a long time, so we got burned on it. But my first show after that on it because
the shit at Sun Beach.
Did we?
It used to be Sun Beach.
I was me on here we did okay I forgot. That wasn't
it. Show, yeah, it wasn't
that
it.
Never had nothing
special, you know.
So when did the first like actually I want to ask this question first. Where the hell did the names Nardi Cool and Geronimo Black come from? Like wait, how do you guys come up with those names?
I'll let you go.
Yours is shorter. Mine is pretty lengthy.
Pretty long?
Well, my name...
He's like, mine, I just came up with it.
You know what I'm saying? I was this is my actual name. Like,
okay.
Not my real name, but this is my name. Like, and it was given to me.
That's what they've been like...
I've known him as that.
Yeah, it was given to me from older dudes when I was a kid just because I was just so cool. Like, and I guess Nardi meant cool in the Urban Dictionary. So they used to call me Nardi. And then somebody just called me Nardi Cool. And it just stuck with me since I was... little like
that's already that's what uncles brothers dads everybody was calling.
I never knew that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's the best way to come up with a name.
Yeah, that's been my name.
Have it be given it to
just someone like, named I've me. Always been
the neighborhood gave it to
since
me.
The beginning of time.
That's crazy. So what about Geronimo Black? Big fascination with Geronimo or jumping out of things or
that's funny. No, I never even thought about that. That's hilarious. No connection. So if you haven't noticed, I have the tendency to talk ad nauseum, so stop me at any point, because it is a story. We were a group up until like 05, 06, we started doing our solo thing or whatever. So
what was the group called? You don't even want to shout it out? You're like ashamed of it?
No, no. The first one was KOBK.
Oh, yeah, it was age.
Killer Be Killed. Mm-hmm.
That was the first one.
Yeah. Like day one. The second, no, actually, it wasn't the first arc.
Oh man.
Yeah, I don't count though. Yeah, Get Money was the second one. But so around like 06, I started doing my own stuff. And at that point is really when I started to listen to guys like Lupe Fiasco. Lupe Fiasco actually is a prime example, because when his first album came out, he had the song called The Cool, mm-hmm. where he resurrected this dude from the dead, and he came back as a zombie and went mm-hmm. back to his old hood and happened to bump into the dudes that killed him. And they tried to sell him some Dre. It was just
a really good storytelling song that can put you into a position. It's like the Crow.
Yeah, it's exactly like it. That's a plot from it.
Brandon Lee.
I never thought about that. That's crazy. Yeah. So anyway, so like those type of songs made me really want to become more of a, because Nas really made me want to be lyrical, but Lupe mm. made me want to tell these stories that aren't necessarily real, but they have. Morals mm-hmm. and lessons that can be learned from it, right? And so this girl that I was really close with at the time told me that she confided in me that she had been assaulted as a kid, mm-hmm. She had been sexually assaulted as a kid, and it was crazy to me because I hadn't even realized up until that point that every girl that I had been in a relationship with had also been assaulted at some mm-hmm. point in their life. And my mom was also a victim of sexual assault at age 15. So that's always been something that really resonated with me. And in that situation, like, you know, as an artist, like, I feel like the things that are on my mind and I want to speak about, I do through my music. So I made this song loosely based on the girl that had told me about, you know, her assault. Mm-hmm. And it was called Nikki's Story. And it was told, the first verse was from the perspective of the little girl Nikki and her thoughts as she's being assaulted. Mm-hmm. And the second, she's actually being sexually assaulted by her stepfather. The second verse is her mother in the next room listening to what happened. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it was actually a pretty good song. If I still had the beat for it, honestly, I'd probably still put it out because it's super dope. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I played it for a female friend of mine. And when I'm playing it in the studio for her, because I had a studio in my basement, when I'm playing it for her, she started crying. And mm-hmm. at that point, I felt bad because I felt like, damn, it probably happened to her too. And I just made her relive all that shit, right? So when the song went off, I apologized to her. Like, I didn't know. Yeah. And she started to tell me, like, no, like, that's never happened to me. It's just, I really connected and, like, felt that. Like, that was deep. And at that point is when I realized that the power of the spoken word has the ability to touch people, and I really wanted to do something with this if I was going to do it. And so then I started to kind of rack my brain and try to figure out, because up to that point I didn't have a rap. I just went, my name is Deontay Brooks, my mm-hmm. government name, so I just went by D. Brooks. Like, I didn't have a rap name. They all had these dope, cool names.
Right? You got Nardi Cool running around, and you're like, I'm D. So, D. Brooks, man. Come on. I'm on the chest.
Rack my brain and try to figure something out that is significant enough that it can mean something when people hear it or when they see it, but at the same time represents who I am and what I'm about. And I figure if I'm a planner, so like I like to look at it like an architect. Mm-hmm. So everything has to have a foundation. What is this going to stand on? Who am I? This has to represent me. Like, what is it about me that I want people to connect with? Mm-hmm. And I felt like now that I've realized the power of the spoken word to affect people, then I can use that ability to give a voice. And it sounds cliche, but to give a voice for the people that don't necessarily have one.
Voice for the voiceless.
Yeah, and so I tried to figure out what that could be for me. Mm-hmm. And my mom was my grandfather was a civil rights activist. So my mom was always really into quote unquote black history. I mean, it's history, American history. Mm-hmm. But so that's something that period has always resonated with me just because of the significance to it to me as a black man, but also because this is something that my mom has always instilled mm-hmm. in me from a young age. And so I started to think back to the Black Panther Party, and what a lot of people don't know about them is that they chose that name because panthers are animals that are known to attack when attacked. And the Minister of Defense of the Black Panthers was a guy named Geronimo Pratt, who actually, a little known fact, is Tupac Shakur's godfather. But so Geronimo Pratt, and I figure, you know, if the Black Panthers represented to, you know, defend people who weren't able to defend themselves and only when attacked, and this guy was the Minister of Defense for that organization, that's where the Geronimo came from. Now, the Black is just a play off of his last name, Pratt, but also because I feel like in society, Black is always... as a black cat walks by. I don't believe in coincidences. This is the universe is crazy. I appreciate that. Thank you. Black cats. You don't cross a black cat's path. Mm-hmm. Black magic. All these. It's like it always
negative connotation to the word. Yeah.
And so that's actually why I spell it with two K's.
What movie is that where he's like, even the keys on the keyboard are black?
I have no idea. Fuck. You got me.
It's like Don't Be a Menace or one of those. Like the preacher guy starts hollering. He's like, even the keys on the or he's, I don't like the keys on the keyboard because they're black. Or whatever the hell he starts.
See,
going
I thought
into.
You were gonna say the Matrix, the deja vu, the glitch,
yeah,
even
black
that
cat. No, with the black cat. Yeah.
Yeah. So I figure I wanted to take the C off and replace it with a K because I feel like that way to differentiate itself from the color race classification. Just because I feel like it's all encompassing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's,
I like that.
Long story short,
I dig it.
That's cool.
No, because it's a lot of people don't fucking think that way. Yeah. Like, not to sound fucking stupid or anything, but a lot of people don't think about their heritage and the forefathers and the people who expanded ideas before them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people don't do that. So it's really cool. You sought something out almost. You know what I mean? So that's neat. So when did the first... I didn't mean to put it that way. You were talking about like seeking out African-American heritage. When I was in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
They have an African-American heritage museum. And my girlfriend, she's black, so the two of us sought to go to that museum. We walk in the door and they're like, oh, we're closed till like February. And I was like, that's just the type of fucking shit that would happen.
Damn.
Like, you, like, they're like, none of our exhibits are open. We have these three pictures of fucking Chuck Berry on the wall. And I was like, well, damn, like, they're not even giving us a fucking museum. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's wild. I wonder what
it's like
they're closed all year except for February.
I was probably.
I was like, that's so shitty.
That's what I got from it.
Yeah.
They had something going on there. It just happened to be remodeling.
Oh, they're renovating. Okay,
right. It wasn't on.
It sound like they were just like, sorry, dude.
Sorry, dude.
Like, there's just one guy that gets paid to sit there and be like, not open until February. Not like, no sign. Here's three pictures. Go along.
That's exactly.
Chuck Berry. Yeah,
that's the way it felt like.
Good there's choice. The door.
We walked in. We're like, where's the exhibits? And the security guys just like, oh, you can't get into any of them. We don't have them open for another few months. I was like, damn, like, what kind of bullshit is this? You would think it would be on the website.
Yeah, or on the door.
Yeah, her and I, like, I was like, well.
Just odd that you walked in, they're like, oh, we're closed.
Yeah.
How'd you get in here, sir?
We did. We literally, like, there's a whole strip of, like, art plazas and shit like that. So
is that right where the cartoon museum was too?
Yes.
Was
around there? Okay. So we hit like the cartoon museum, then we walked into this weird ass fucking gallery that was just one. It was like 100 pictures of one guy's face painted different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a video of the guy painting a painting. And then all of a sudden, the guy whose face it was come from the back, and I was just like, babe, we gotta leave. I was like, this is some Dexter shit. Like, I was
exactly.
Like, Dexter's showing up to murder this guy because he murders people. I was like, we need
like
to
a
get
a fucking dagger.
So that's when we walked down to the African American Heritage Museum, and then they were like, nah, we're closed.
So the artist that was painting the painting walked out from the painting?
No, from the other room.
I was like,
that's
some shit, dude. Does he just wait there all day? Like, I hope someone comes by. I think blow their mind.
I think the video was actually him in the back. Like, I don't think it was a whole video.
Okay, so
I think
it's like a live feed, right?
And
on.
Then I think he literally just, like, came out from the back because he
like
knew
him
people
getting
were.
Ready to reveal himself.
And then you just ran out.
The same guy.
He's like, fuck.
We were like, no, we gotta go. There's, like, crazy, like, broken pictures on broken phone screens and shit all over the ground. I was like, this is weird, dude.
that people have passed through.
I was like, so let's go to this museum. And then it was like, three pictures of Chuck Berry. Now get the fuck out. I was like, man, I was like, fuck Pittsburgh right Wait, now,
where
dude.
Did y'all go next? This sounds like an interesting day.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even museum? Remember. Yeah, we started walking over towards the Andy Warhol Museum. But
and
I
then
kept,
he walked out.
I kept seeing pizza shop after pizza shop after pizza shop. So yeah. I was like, babe, let's go to get some pizza. So yeah,
we did got you go to Pizza Hut?
No.
Okay,
no.
I didn't know if you like. You're like, ah, I know this is gonna be good.
We had some restaurant.com coupons.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we went to this weird ass pizza shop out in Moon, PA.
Never even heard of it.
Fucking, it was called like something really Italian, mm-hmm. and the Genoa's.
Okay.
And got pizza there.
Right on.
It was really
fucking
good.
Check out Spack Brothers. They're really good, too.
Is it like a pizza shop in the city?
Because this was out by the airport. It's next to the Roboto Project.
We stayed out by the airport, so I was driving into the city every day.
Oh, I got you, yeah.
For like, it was like 25-minute drive in the city. But anyway, all right. Let me get to the mixtapes and shit. So when did you start recording and like legitimately putting music out?
2010.
Okay. So it's about 6 years ago?
Yeah.
And what was the first mixtape called?
Black Planet.
And how did you put it out? You just burn 100 CDs and go start running around?
It was a couple hundred.
Mm-hmm.
I had a website at the time that I put it on there as well. I was actually, it's weird. Like, I always run into these situations where these people who are at least farther along than I am mm-hmm. just kind of hear my music and want to fuck with me. I ran into this guy through this woman I worked with, and he was like a manager, or he was trying to get into management.
Mm-hmm.
And he had relationships with people within the industry. Like, there was one point where I was being shopped to Disturbing the Peace. So mm-hmm. it was like he really like knew people. Like, he was shopping me to L.A. Reid, but he was supposed to actually distribute the mixtape for me, the first mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I didn't really, at that point, anything I did in terms of like burning CDs and putting on, it was more of a reaction to when I saw that he wasn't really doing anything.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have a plan in place, because again, I'm a planner. I didn't have a plan in place because I put my faith in somebody else. So yeah, that was just on the internet. And then the next year, that particular mixtape, a guy at the Akron Beacon Journal, Malcolm Abraham.
Yeah, I was about to say, I actually saw a little write up from him.
Yeah. I got the cover of the, entertainment section in the Beacon Journal, because he heard, I put it on the internet.
Yeah, he heard it and liked it.
He actually did a really nice piece for it. It was mm-hmm. dope.
Yeah, the write-up was really, I was like, damn, it's legit. Because he's a legit writer for the Beacon Journal. Like, he's in there every fucking week, you know, so you, and high-profile articles, too. They don't give high-profile articles to people that are fucking J-Brones, yeah. You know what I mean? So, anyway, but yeah, he wrote a really good piece about you.
Yeah, and so, I mean, to me, that's something I actually still, as soon as it happened, like, that morning, my mom was the first one to see the paper. It was, like, 4:35 in the morning. She called me screaming, like, telling me I need to go get some newspapers. And I actually bought, like, 16 that day. I still got, like, four of them, and I carry one of them around in my book bag.
How much were they then? Were they, like, 75 cents by then? They're a dollar now.
I think they were 75.
Yeah, something like that.
But
that ain't cheap.
Yeah. And so I always keep one around with me to remind me of that, because I do feel like that is an achievement, an accolade. But after that fallout and situation with my manager, that really influenced my direction, because I think that the discrepancy that we had in terms of our understanding was that he knew that I was a good rapper, but he didn't know that I had a desire to do something meaningful with my music.
Mm.
And so he was constantly stressing to make more radio-friendly, commercial-sounding songs. So after we had that falling out...
More songs about twerking and blunt smoking than life, you know what I mean?
Like, man, you know I could do so much more. Like, I could do that if I wanted to. I just don't want to, because it don't mean nothing. So after we had that falling out, like, I was so frustrated that the next mixtape was like, everything anti that. My second mixtape, there's 12 songs and there's one song that has a chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I just felt like I'm just going to rap.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's Bobby's
the
type
whole
of shit.
Fucking way.
Yeah.
It's actually called Think Free.
Mm-hmm.
just because I kind of felt like he wanted me to be a sheep. Like, I'm not yeah. a sheep, and it's I can't pretend to be a sheep because I'm not. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, the second mixtape, I just rapped all the way through that shit, man. and then...
And what, how'd period, you put that out too? Just the website, or were you out running around?
That one was the one that I put on like Reverb Nation. I had a different website at that time. I put it on there, sent it out to a few different blog sites. But the response from it was so, I don't even want to say bad, because it was nobody said anything negative about it, but nobody really cared.
Nobody was bumping it like the first one.
Nah, and that lightweight frustrated the fuck
Bobby
out of me.
Bobby would have been number one fan. Yeah.
That frustrated, especially every copy. Because there was like particular people that I knew. Like, if nobody else fuck with it, they gonna fuck with it, right?
Yeah.
And so I just didn't get that reaction, and to me, it kind of just felt like, damn. So like everybody does just want me to like. Make the, because I mean it was, I guess you would consider it conscious rap, but it wasn't in the same vein as the first project. And I think once I did Black Planet, because it was a more conscious project, people pigeonholed me in that.
Yeah,
but I wanted to do things beyond that, so the second one was more, Think Free is more fucking spiritual and metaphysical, and you know, talking about different the law of attraction, just different things that people probably wouldn't talk about normally.
Yeah.
And so I felt like, you know, even the people who liked the first mixtape who didn't listen to this one, it would have to be because they didn't want me to do anything different than the first one. And by nature, I don't like being defined or having anybody tell me who I am or what I am or what I need to be. And so then I just felt like, well, I can't do what I did before, because just, you know, I'm just being... proud or whatever. Like, I can't do what I did before, because then they'll feel like they won. I can't do what I did now, because nobody listens to this shit. And so I just stopped doing anything like, at all. And you know, over
you're
the course,
discouraged, I, so to speak,
defeated.
Not in myself, but in people. Yeah. I feel like the confidence has always been there. I just sometimes I feel like, in retrospect, I'll say I feel like I was just too far ahead.
You're ahead
without
of your
trying
time.
To sound arrogant.
Yeah,
like,
I got you.
I just feel like
you wouldn't be like, you didn't want to be like, this was years ahead of its time. Like, you're not Led like Zeppelin or something.
I swear, I feel like if I would have put Think Free out today, everybody would say, damn, he's trying to sound just like Kendrick Lamar on Pimp a Butterfly. Like, it was just like abstract.
Yeah, I was about
ideas.
To say, as you were talking, I was like, now it, in the past 2 years, it's that, opened up so much exactly. since the Lupe thing, because now. J. Cole and exactly. Kendrick and all those guys kind of get that. I mean, it's still, they still hit mainstream yeah. sounds and songwriting, but it's definitely opened the box yeah. on
heard,
what you can talk
have
about.
You Bishop Nehru?
Bishop
of
Nehru.
Him. I think I may have heard him featured on like one or two songs before, but I don't
know. He's young as fuck, but he's putting his first album out soon, and it's being produced by Nas.
Yeah.
So he's like already like, up there with like the big leagues, and yeah. like I heard of him when he was 15 putting out mixtapes, strictly because he was putting out mixtapes with no choruses on them. He yeah. was just, and his mixtapes, I think the one was called Strictly Flows. Like, he just it was just all the way through, he just raps.
Yeah, I'm gonna
so
have to check
raw.
Him out. Yeah.
So you, when did the official like process into recording this new record come about? Soundtrack
last summer.
Okay. So you had kind of gotten out of the funk, and you're like, you had started seeing the music open up, or what? How did it happen?
My mom died, honestly, is what it was. My mom was like my number one fan, and not even really just because she was my mom, just because she really just loved the music, like sometimes even more than I did. And
she'd be the person to go, no, dude, that sounds good. Stop being a bitch about it. Like,
yeah.
Don't cut much, out that ad-lib. No,
yeah, pretty much. Anyway. And when she died, I just went through this deep stage of depression, and I got insomnia, like really bad. And being up at night with nothing but my own thoughts just forced me back into writing.
I was about to say, because that sucks.
Yeah. And so, really, I would say... the music that will be on the album, even though I say I've been working on it for 6 years, the music that will be on the album is music that I started around 2014, so like the last 2 years. But yeah, just going through that period of depression, and it really became cathartic in a sense. Like, it was my therapy, like, and that got me through that dark time, honestly. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like I don't want to put a specific time frame on the album, because I feel like at this point I found what I feel like is my formula to make the perfect album, or to make this album perfect. And I don't want to rush it if my audience isn't there with me yet.
Mm.
So I'm just kind of trying to baby step it, without sounding condescending at all.
Yeah.
But just because the ideas and concepts and emotions really are so heavy, I just want to kind of baby step people into the story, because we live in a time frame where people consume things at such a fast rate.
Yes,
that I think
definitely.
It diminishes the quality in a sense, because we don't take the time to appreciate it.
You don't really sit with records anymore and listen to them all the way through and all the way through, because there's like 1,000 things you have to listen to and catch up on. Yeah.
So my strategy is to, the first single I put out on my mom's birthday, April 15th, this is this video that we were speaking about earlier, is my second single. I just put it out on my birthday, September 3rd. So that's like a 5-month window. I feel like I want people to have to sit with these songs. Like, I don't want you to get all these songs for you to just get past them.
Yeah.
Like, it means something to me, so I want it to mean something to you.
Mm. Nice. I enjoy that. So what's the future got for, what's your ultimate goal? You see yourself putting in the DIY work, or are you shopping this to find a label or management to pick you up? What's your ideas? You say you're a planner.
Yeah, but I don't have a plan for that. No. It's just all about contingencies. I'm prepared to do it myself. Mm. I have a plan to do it myself. I look at that as being ultimately my preference.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know at the same time, if I can do what I can do by myself in 5 years, in 2 years with partnering with a company, mm-hmm. then it just makes more sense.
Yeah.
So it all depends. I mean, you know, if any record labels or A&Rs get a hold of it and they have a situation that makes sense for me, it just makes sense.
Are you going to do iTunes, Spotify, everything like that with the soundtrack, or are you just going Bandcamp or website?
No, it's everywhere. It will be everywhere. The first single is everywhere. The second single was supposed to be everywhere. The video is just on YouTube right now. If you haven't watched it, y'all need to watch it. It's super dope.
Are we looking up G Black or Geronimo Black when we search
it? Actually pops up for both.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, the single's called Perfect. No Hope in parentheses, Could Have Been Brian, featuring Nardi Cool.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the cover on Facebook and stuff, because she sent me your profile a while ago. It's like the first three pictures that pop up is that cover.
That shit is dope. But yeah, so the second single, at the beginning of the song, there's this audio soundbite of LeBron speaking, and I sent it in through my distribution company, and like 2 days before the song was supposed to be released, they sent it back and said the sample wasn't cleared. So that one, unfortunately, I can't release because of, you know, sample clearance, unless I can get LeBron to come to the studio.
So I was about to say,
which is also a contingency plan I have.
I was about to say, who'd you say put the block on it?
There's a company I go through to distribute my music.
Okay.
And
like a CD Baby or Catapult or TuneCore.
Yeah.
Oh shit. I just got some samples for my band 2 album. I'm like, that might not fly now. Then I forgot that they kind of go through all that and see if anything's like copyrighted and stuff.
But I swear, like, I've heard mad shit like on iTunes.
Yeah.
Shit, like, I know that
nowadays,
shit.
You got to get samples cleared nowadays. Ever since Paul's Boutique from the Beastie Boys. Yeah. So that was the fucking cutoff. Because Paul's Boutique is like 18 songs of samples. And fucking they went through court, everything. I think there was a Sir Mix-a-Lot song at the same time too. That like fucking both of them paid out the ass for that shit. And like I remember I've seen like read all kinds of articles about Paul's Boutique, and everybody like tossed about how it's the album, especially in, when did it come out? 89. Everybody said that like it was like the best production beat sounds out of any fucking record. And then
shit was ill.
It might have even been early 90s, because Tribe Called Quest was doing that shit too. All those old jazz fucking records and everything were all loops. Like there's a Tribe Called Quest documentary that Michael Rapaport did. You've seen that? Yeah, when he's like, you literally see Q-Tip like going, well, I would take this record, and he puts on the player and starts just looping it. You're like, damn, this is awesome. You can hear how this works. Actually, funny Tribe Called Quest thing, when she posted the thing like, hey, I know this guy named Geronimo Black. I want to bring him on the podcast. I was like thinking to myself, I was like, damn, bring him. He sounds like somebody from Tribe Called Quest or something. Yeah. Like, just the name, Geronimo Black. I was like, hell yeah.
That's what everybody
about to have like, Zulu so, Nation like, in this
like
building.
Like a Tribe Called Quest, like, diggable planet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what about Nardi Cool? We've been leaving you out of the picture a little bit here.
Oh, man, this the man, this what's, the man of the hour.
What's, you know, what's your too. Ultimate goal coming up with music? You hanging out with him? He's featured on your record a couple times, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you're like the Schoolboy Q coming up in the background behind the Kendrick over here.
Honestly, I feel like we all, like, we together. But we all got our own thing, and we trying to bring it together where it's like, it ain't no Schoolboy, it ain't no Kendrick.
It's just about a support system.
Yeah, it's just, I got you know, it's Brian Mello, Way, CP3, Word. It's Team USA when we come together.
You're that's the dream team right here.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to build.
It's Shaquille and fucking Michael Jordan and, who was the white guy from Duke?
I don't remember. Christian Laettner.
There you go, Christian Laettner.
We hated him.
That's funny. So,
Jinx both of you guys.
you got Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, WordPress. you got any of these things you want to shout out?
Facebook, at Geronimo Black. Same for Twitter. Instagram too, actually.
Geronimo Black.
Or Black with 2 K's, no C.
I found it easy on SoundCloud just typing in Geronimo Black.
Yeah.
I was like wondering if I was gonna have to type in G-Black or Geronimo, you know what I mean?
Usually the hyphen does have to be in there, so if you found it without it, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's dope though.
I thought I searched Geronimo Black. Maybe I didn't. I searched Geronimo Black on Spotify and you popped right up.
Yeah.
I think this is you. I don't know if you have anything on here, though.
10,000 hours should be on there.
It's got your name here. I'm looking at a profile. I want to look at his fucking songs, homie.
Oh, correction. Actually, Twitter is G-Black. The word dash black.
Mm-hmm.
Word.
What about you? You got any social medias?
Oh, yeah. I'm Nardi Cool on Facebook. You know, I keep them laughing. time, you know what I'm saying? Twitter. What is it? At Nardi _cool330 and on Instagram it's the same thing. Nardi, no, actually I just changed it not too long ago, but just search Nardi Cool, you know what I'm saying?
It'll pop up, right? The one and only.
Well, I appreciate both you guys for coming here.
Oh man, I appreciate
you. Got anything else you want to shout out?
Check out that video.
Yeah, if y'all get a chance, go watch that video on YouTube. G-Black BLAKK featuring Nardi Cool. No Hope, Could Have Been Brian. So it's an amazing video, and yeah, I'm sure y'all like it.
I appreciate you guys coming. This was a really fun interview.
And I just want to say, Cowboys Nation, where we go.
This dude.
Really? Even with Romo with his broken fucking back?
Hey, we going
down. Bane took out goddamn fucking...
All right, I'm in now. What's up?
Bane took out fucking Tony Romo's back. Who the fuck's even quarterbacking down there?
We got Dak.
He compared him to Elijah from Unbreakable.
We going Dak to the future.
You got Marty McFly?
I've heard Tony Romo's going to be hunting, derailing a train with Bruce Willis in it pretty soon.
What movie was that from?
Unbreakable.
You guys.
Shout out to Tim Wolf.
You guys are crazy.
But I see big things, though, with the young boy. I see big things in the young boy.
I appreciate it. I like your music, too, man. I'm glad you came through. I'm glad Josie hooked it up.
Yeah, thank you, Josie.
No problem.
Josie.
Appreciate Josie y'all, man. Awesome. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah. Thank y'all for having us.
Thank you for coming, man.
Now recording Chris Clem's Cats Cast number 50, Chris Clem. They're playing
Basketball is my favorite sport. Talk about the way they dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king of the podcast field. LeBron and the Cavs are the king of the world. I like slam dunks, trash talking in the booth. The podcast is funny and it is the truth. Download it now with Aussie Weather Media. Cause it's Chris Clem's Cast available now.
Chris Clem's Cavscast, now a part of Lousy Weather Media. Find it at lousyweathermedia.com or chrisclem.net/podcast. Chris Clem's Cavscast, it's fantastic.
You dig that Ron Simmons figure, don't you?
That is Ron Simmons.
Yeah, it's Ron Simmons. I didn't ask you before, were you a wrestling fan growing up?
Oh, man.
I was about to say, you think I still
we made
not
belts man. Out of cardboard and bruh. Everything. Yeah, we used to have hardcore matches. Frying pans come funny. Out and everything.
That was my first dream, honestly. Mm,
you were gonna be the professional wrestler. You kind of got the size, man.
Well, now I do, but I didn't back then.
Let's say I know a couple wrestlers. I can get you hooked up with school.
Man,
you just drop this music shit and go right to the
Don't tease me with a good time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I forgot I didn't turn you up, Bob. Try that one more time.
Oh man,
see now his mic is working. It just wasn't turned up. The wrestling teacher has a studio. That's what Bob was saying. So you can record there too. You record and then go fucking take some back bumps in the wrestling ring.
DDT at the same time.
I've been going out to there's like a promotion, it's a school and promotion, they run shows out of the Vortex down here, so I've been going up there and seeing the shows, and it's been fun starting to get to know a couple of guys.
When do you think you'll start commentating?
What's up?
That has to happen, right?
Even the wrestler that was now we've started a wrestling specific podcast called the Lousy Wrestling Podcast. Mm-hmm. My friend Derek and I, we talk, we have made the effort that we were going to start watching Raw and SmackDown again. I haven't watched it in years. I've been keeping up with the pay-per-views and stuff, but
and all the pay-per-views.
Yeah, now I'm watching everything. Yeah, it's fucking hard. It's like it's bad. It's pretty awful, but we do it. And the Lousy Wrestling Podcast. And this week we actually had a professional wrestler, Mark St. James, over here. He's former American Heritage Champion of the FCWF. He just lost it this past week.
Oh,
but he was talking and like
sitting in my seat.
Man, he was literally, sat right there. He was literally talking. He was like, dude, you guys, if you could stop saying fucking so much, you guys should be our commentators. Because they have like live commentators during the matches.
Oh, do it, dude.
I was like, I would kill that commentary, right there, dude.
Stop saying fuck all the time.
Yeah. See, I think I could, if you kept vodka orange juice out of my hand for fucking a minute, I might be able to. I just said fucking there, didn't I?
Yeah.
Damn it. If you keep. Yeah. Well, I do have vodka orange juice.
Yeah,
so,
there's a reason why.
That's
why I was
like, fuck.
Dropping those fuck bombs.
It's actually Sunny D because I'm too cheap to buy orange juice.
That's fair.
Fuck orange juice.
Yeah. Sunny D, 2 liters, 99 cents. Orange juice, fucking like.
$3.
Pint is. $3 goddamn dollars. But anyway. So, yeah, he was like, man, you guys, if you were cussing so much, you'd be awesome.
You could totally
commentary.
Do it. I mean, you would definitely probably throw a few out there on accident, but there are a couple little kids there, so.
I think Derek would.
Derek, he could never do it, no. Yeah, he would be like, fucking, this guy fucking sucks. Fuck this dude. Like,
Derek,
I'd be like,
three
Derek,
in
yeah.
a row.
Like, you can't say that. Talk about the maneuvers, Derek. Right. Come on,
yeah, they
man.
Fucking rule. Ha!
flying elbow, drop.
Yeah, fuck.
Well, who's y'all's favorite wrestler? Who did y'all
who's
like watching?
Mine, period?
Yeah.
Or growing up? Or
period.
Period oh, over shit. All time.
Over
yeah.
all time.
Kurt Angle.
Really?
Kurt Angle.
Kurt?
That's a good
Kurt
pick.
Kurt Angle, yeah.
That's
over
a good
all
pick.
Time.
Not a bad pick, just that's not what I expected. Pick.
Now, my new guy is this Japanese cat named Shinsuke Nakamura. Just absolutely. He just came to WWE recently, but he's been in Japan for 10 goddamn years and just amazing. But growing up, I'd have to say it was like, I don't know, I was into like the wrestlers. Chris Benoit and Mysterio and fucking all that shit. But nowadays, it's from the past 10 years or so, I've put Kurt Angle as number one.
That's what's up. I don't know. Oh, you know I'm a Triple H fan.
Triple H.
I've been riding with Triple since he was Hunter, and
Triple H. See, that's not something most people say. Most people look at Triple H as like a bastard to the fucking business. Like,
he's gonna get the job done.
Have you seen Wrestling Isn't Wrestling on YouTube?
Which one?
Wrestling Isn't Wrestling.
It's a it's like a mockumentary called Wrestling Isn't Wrestling, and it's like about 20 minutes, but it tells the history of Triple H using only female actors. Like a bunch of like skinny white models are fucking the are all the characters, and it's fucking the only male is the guy who plays China. But so and
it's incredible.
Yeah, but so and
I've watched it like seven.
It's basically a guy explaining the story of Triple H while all these females reenact it. And it, yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
Going to watch it tonight.
Like even Triple H like tweeted about it. Like, okay, good job, dude.
Yeah, they do it. Get pedigreed on Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Jerry Lawler is my favorite.
Jerry Lawler.
That's
king?
A good one too. The king, man.
So he was power driving kids when he was.
My brother.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. Jerry Lawler. What was yours, you said?
I'm really sitting here racking my brain.
You said Goldberg earlier.
He was a D'Lo Brown dude for a minute.
Get the fuck out of here.
He used to shake his head crazy. I'm telling you, I remember.
Never.
He's doing it. Yeah. He's wearing the fucking like bulletproof vest and shit.
Yeah, that was hell.
Well, I mean, that was the smart chest when he protector. Did that, though. Yeah, that shit was dope.
He had that chest because I was actually just watching old 97 Raw the other day. And like, and they were like, he got kicked in the chest or something, and then he had a fractured sternum or something, so he started wearing this chest protector. Well, he had a fractured sternum for 3.5 goddamn years. He's like wearing that chest protector for the rest of his fucking career.
Speaking of that, I saw fucking Roman Reigns trending the other day online. Mm-hmm. I was hooked, clicked, and I was like, why the fuck is he trending?
It was funny,
and it was like there's a change.org petition to get them to remove his vest.
Did we talk about this? No,
I don't think so.
You guys familiar with who Roman Reigns is? The petition was to demilitarize him and make him dress more like a wrestler.
Yeah, he does.
Wow.
Instead of being
rock his arm like a fucking
instead
weirdo.
Of instead of dressing instead of dressing like he's prepared for battle, let's dress him like he's prepared for a wrestling match.
Did they
say
that it gave him an unfair advantage? I think that's like what
like
it's
you
about.
Just bust out smoke bombs or something.
He's fucking Batman.
That's what happened when they became a sitcom.
Mm-hmm. Drones start coming in.
That'd be awesome.
That is the problem with Monday Night Raw, and that is it's literally like watching bad Saturday Night Live for a lot of it. But it's been getting better. I will say that.
Better, though. They got some new wrestlers.
Me and Derek have been reviewing it, and yeah, it's been getting better. A lot more entertained. Lousy Wrestling Podcast. You can subscribe to it on iTunes.
Sure can.
It's on its own feed now. It used to be on this same feed that this show you guys are about to be on is on. Mm-hmm. But now we've separated it.
Yeah. Okay.
We have all of our shows on separate feeds. You can subscribe to them all. So that, like, somebody who wants to listen to this show don't have a wrestling podcast pop up in their feed every fucking
week.
Like,
what the fuck?
We used to be a cloud, but now we're an umbrella.
Oh. Hmm.
Coming up with these all day.
Well, I'm going to subscribe to all of them, so make sure Josie linked me into all of them.
There's also I Can't Read, which is Paul's movie podcast.
Yeah, I do with my roommate, Tony.
Tony, they talk movies and sometimes video games and comics and shit.
CDs. But, TV dinners.
Yeah, we just did box. Yeah. We do this thing called Genre 5.
TV dinners?
Yeah. No, hold up. No, it was box dinners. Thank you.
Go ahead. Explain it.
All right, so Genre 5, basically we go through like, what's your favorite horror? Like top five. It's a play on Johnny 5?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Short Circuit.
From Short Circuit?
Yeah, Genre 5, Johnny 5. Gotcha. Yeah. Tony came up with that. We'll give him credit.
And they ran out of ideas.
And then we ran out of ideas, so I was like, what about genres of like food? Let's do box dinners. So we did like a solid Hamburger Helper and
Salisbury
shit like that.
Steak Hungry
DiGiorno's, it's technically like a box dinner, comes in a box. So yeah, we just did that, you know. It was got to know us a little better, our eating habits and shit. I feel like we really delved in.
Tony's Pizza from the Dollar Tree.
Honestly,
dude,
he hates it. No,
it's the best.
Tony hates Tony's
Pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah.
On the podcast?
Yeah, yeah. We on the podcast? No, we did. Oh. Yeah, we made all of our favorite box dinners. Just like, yeah, this is still good. I'm glad I picked it.
Try this.
Yeah. That's nice little.
I've gotten into everything Dollar Tree. They have the best frozen food section in the world, man.
So, did ramen noodles count?
Yeah, totally. That, yeah,
well,
that
that's
it's a bag.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they come in cups too.
Yeah, the cup. I didn't know. If the
that's kind of like a box.
Oh, and the, yeah, okay. You can I get mean, a bunch of bags in a box. Yeah, oh, let's say get 24 bags in a box.
There you go. There you go.
When you buy it by the pallet, you get it in boxes, man.
Hell yeah.
Anyways, somebody got a news story so we can get the fuck out of here or what? Let me hit the news song here. Do I have audio out here? Because you guys got to hear the Scooby Doo anthem.
Bobby, Paul, and Sean, where are you? We got some news for you now.
Teen right. reportedly dies from his girlfriend's
hickey.
Oh, I thought I could go like right into it. I like that was such a good movie, and you're like,
supposed,
all right.
You're supposed to wait for me to be like, all right, Paul.
Oh, you, my bad. Play it again. No.
All right, Paul.
I was kidding.
All right, Paul.
Oh.
Hey.
Hit me with the first news story.
Teen reportedly dies from his girlfriend's hickey.
Okay, how does this happen?
Well, like, I'll read the story to him. We can all find out.
His brain exploded?
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
It was a stroke. But
okay. Yes, it was. Oh, you've heard about this.
Yeah, he literally
isn't it fucked up? I felt like this was more like a service announcement.
So
than
he had a stroke. It wasn't literally from the hickey.
No, doctors are saying that it was. It created a blood clot that went to his brain and murdered him.
Now, like, I hope my girlfriend don't listen this far in the episode because... Like, I don't like hickeys. Like, I'm 28, and I don't want to be walking around fucking with a hickey, like, to be honest with you. So, like...
Guess who got some?
And she... Well, and she loves...
This guy.
She loves to, like... she loves to, like, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, stop sucking on my neck. Fucking... Like, she's going to sneak it on to me, like... And I'm like, no, like, what are you trying to do? Fucking mark your territory?
Yeah, what are we going to do to my mom and dad?
She fucking...
Exactly, yeah. So, but anyway...
Poison Ivy from Batman?
I was thinking Rogue.
Now, now I'm going to just tell her. I'm going to be like, you're going to give me a blood clot and kill me with a stroke.
Yeah, no, that's
like,
it. Yeah, there you go. I have your out.
I don't want stroke face. Like, get off me.
I don't... One
yeah, that'll stop the mood real quick.
And I don't want to blow you.
That's funny.
Like, how hard does she have to be sucking on his neck to like
give him
create
stroke?
A blood clot? I have no idea. He was a virile 17-year-old boy. And she was 24.
Was he a hemophiliac or something? And she was 24?
Yeah, hold on. Is that statutory?
Right? Whoa!
It was in Mexico City, though. I don't know if the same.
No, it depends
Wait,
the state.
Is this murder?
Most states are 16.
Or is it
involuntary manslaughter?
Yeah.
Did she get charged?
Go ahead, Josie.
The story came out, I think, like maybe like a week ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they said at that time she wasn't being charged with anything. So
okay.
I don't know if there's any updates.
I don't think she should be charged with anything.
I'd throw the book at her.
Maybe.
Kinda.
Not murder. Because
you know it's consensual.
Maybe like sex with a minor. Not murder.
Let's say manslaughter.
That's like an act of love.
Manslaughter is when somebody dies. Somebody dies and it wasn't intentional, but you're at fault.
Yeah. Right.
That's manslaughter.
Like a car accident.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that how you're going to go into court?
Yeah.
Accidents happen.
Yeah. But I'm saying,
yeah, no, he died at the family dinner table. How fucked up is that?
Damn. So, like, they were up in the bedroom.
It was like a little, like, while later, then he came down to eat. And then just died.
That's
well,
what
started
I mean.
Convulsing.
They were up in a bedroom neck, and then he was like, "All right, time for dinner." And went down. He's like, "Sorry, I got to go eat."
I don't know if it says how long was in
like
between.
He passed
I'll
out, and his family was like, "What is going on with him? Take that scarf off." And they're like, "Holy shit, what is that?"
Yeah,
that is so pretty fucked up.
But,
that's
damn.
Funny. Now, where was this at, Paul?
Mexico City.
In Mexico?
Is there another one? Is there like New Mexico City?
New Mexico.
That's what I was wondering. I was wondering if New Mexico had a city.
His name was Julio Gonzalez.
Of course. Yeah.
Whoa.
It's like the John Doe.
Well, I just mean,
like the John Smith of Missouri.
Yeah, that's exactly like.
What? Now I kind of feel like that story might not even be real.
Yeah, where'd you get this story from?
The reputable Huffington Post.
Okay. Lisa so, is Huffington Post. Ariana Huffington fucking fact checked that shit herself.
Indeed.
If you didn't know. She's the bear on Cleveland Show. Did you know that?
No.
Not the male bear, but the female bear.
Assumed.
Did you ever watch the Cleveland Show?
Nah.
It was good shit. More people should have watched it.
I was like,
it got canceled
quick. Yeah, didn't it? Yeah.
Well, three or four seasons, I think.
Yeah.
That's what happens like with all... Didn't American Dad go off the air and Family Guy, too?
No,
and then they both came back?
American Dad's over on TBS now. It hasn't had any interruption.
I thought it did.
I think Family Guy definitely.
Yeah, it did. They brought back Family Guy is when they went ahead and added on the American Dad. Like, we're going to bring you back. We're going to bring back Family Guy, and we want it so much, we're going to give you another show to do, too.
Oh, okay.
So that's how the American Dad deal came about.
And then
about.
They got Cleveland Show, and no one cared.
Yeah, Cleveland Show was like another thing got canceled.
Yeah.
So they brought that in. Cleveland Show, I thought was fucking hilarious.
Parts of it not too long ago, I'd come over and it would be.
Yeah, me and Amber still love watching it. Mm-hmm. But they, where the fuck was I even going with that? I've had a little too much vodka now. Ariana Huffington. Yeah. She was the female bear. Like, because they both had like heavy German accents, the regular bear, and then the female bear, his wife. Is Ariana Huffington from the Huffington Post fame.
Ah, I didn't know that.
I've heard of her when she ran for governor and got beat by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, California, I guess.
Damn.
Yeah. She was runner up. It was like Arnold Huffington and like Mary Carey, the porn star or some shit.
Wow.
It's like,
that's insane.
That was that election, dude. He's like, I forgot about Mary Carey. I'm going to Google that one later. we'll bring back Mary Carey to the building. So the only other thing I want to talk about was the iPhone. You got something? Bob's got something.
Kind of like we were talking about Tribe Called Quest earlier. I mean, this isn't really.
Yes.
I was just looking at what was trending in news and I saw this. But De La Soul, first album in 12 years, debuted at number one on the rap album charts.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know they put out an album.
Me either. Last thing I heard from De La Soul was that verse on the Matt and Kim song that was on fucking like NBA 2K12 or some shit.
A Tribe Called Quest has a new one coming out.
Mm-hmm. For real?
Supposedly, they got Fife Dawg verses on it, too.
I was about to say, without Fife Dawg, or it's going to have it on her.
Yeah.
They have, like, stuff in the can.
Apparently they had a whole album done at one point, and they just never put it out.
I always like the way they do that, where wasn't there, like, a Michael Jackson album that just came out, like, fucking 4 years ago or some shit? Like, they just put out a David Bowie
album.
Well, he put that out before he died, didn't he?
No, I'm pretty sure they just put out like a
another one
or like, some shit like
oh that. Like B-sides.
Yeah, it was like some kind of like shitty head recorded.
Okay,
I don't know. I've never listened to it.
Yeah, because they sit on a bunch of tracks or so. Like some bands have a bunch of stuff that they've sat on over the years, or like they record a couple extra songs, especially in the older days where they might record 15 and a label goes, no, it's going to be 12.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I recorded 15. They're like, no, well, it's going to be 12.
Yeah, shelve that shit.
Yeah.
Prince
had
like 47 unreleased.
Well, that motherfucker had microphones in every room.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Legitimately, it's not even a joke. He had every room mic'd, so if he
felt inspired,
if he thought of something, he could sing it. He could sing it, and there was something recording it. And fucking, so he always had everything fucking recorded.
That's crazy.
So then you also couldn't talk too loud in this fucking house. I mean, you couldn't be like, look at this dude. Like Jehovah's Witness? What?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You couldn't say anything like that in his room. So, what are you? Do you sit on songs so that you can put out 1,000 tracks when you die?
Have you started collecting?
I mean, I never really
have you ever
about
collected
that,
death tracks?
I personally don't feel like I'll ever die.
How much of a
you're living forever?
Are
you?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I mean, I could though. I definitely.
What's like fuck? There's a movie that came out. It didn't come out. I'm sorry. There's a movie that got filmed. That isn't coming out for like 1,000 years. It was part of like a tequila promotion.
When they like put it in a time capsule or something?
It's got like John Malkovich in it and shit.
What?
Yeah, it's like a legit movie. It's got famous actors
in it. That'd be awesome. I would love to be a part of that. Let's like,
say it's got
like let's record something
too.
Really fucking awesome like,
and
just
not
let anybody see it for 1,000 years.
It was like this tequila that they have is aged for 1,000 years.
I heard about that shit.
So they just started a batch of it this year and they made a movie for it.
Okay.
And they're
so when the batch comes out,
and watch this movie.
Yeah.
Dude, in 1,000 years, people are gonna be like, "How do I play this?"
Yeah,
like, fucking
DVD, Blu-ray,
even just like MP4.
Yeah,
imagine what the fuck video files are gonna be bootlegging in fucking 20 years. Shit,
let alone 1,000.
Yeah, they've moved off the MPEGs.
Yep,
MPEG, AVI, MP4.
Yeah,
now it's like MKV.
MKVs are huge now. I don't understand the Switch if it held like more data. It seems like it'd be more pixelated and stuff to me.
What, MKV?
Yeah.
I thought it was better.
Yeah, I don't know. Everything that I've gotten so far doesn't really look that great.
Mm. You're a bootlegger.
Not anymore. I can't find shit. I just bought Civil War.
It is. It's getting to the point where you can't bootleg anymore.
Which I'm all right with, honestly.
How did you feel about that?
Loved it.
What, Civil War?
Yeah, right? Tom Holland as Spider-Man is fucking incredible. Yeah, I can't wait for Homecoming. Man. Donald Glover's in it, too.
Yeah.
The new Spider-Man movie, yeah. Fun fact. All right. So, you got iPhone 7 news?
Is he Miles Morales?
I don't know. They haven't said his character, but hopefully. He's also playing young Lando in Star Wars.
Yep.
Who's the guy that's Captain Planet in those YouTube videos?
Don Cheadle.
That's Don Cheadle. Should be Don Cheadle.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fair.
That's who?
If there, you know, the other week, somebody asked me, somebody was like, who do you think's the best actor that could play anything? That's what I should have said.
Don Cheadle?
What did you say?
I don't remember. Affleck. Probably Ben Affleck, yeah.
I've been told this. You could play the shark in Jaws.
So, yeah, Don Cheadle. So, are either one of you guys iPhone users? We got the new iPhone 7 coming out.
Michael B. Jordan's the best.
I had
the
6, and I got rid of it.
You had the 6?
Yeah, I got rid of it.
See, I still have I switched to the iPhone 2 years ago, I want to say.
You were an
maybe
Android
3 years
user
ago,
for a
maybe
long time.
Yeah. So I had the 5S and now the 6S. So I skipped the 6.
Yeah, I had the 6. Yeah, I have the 6S now. Right before the new one came out.
But they're doing a lot of wacky things with the new one.
How so?
The removal of the headphone jack is the big rumor. See, it hasn't been announced yet. Probably by the time most people listen to this, all this shit will be announced.
No, you're right. It's a Bluetooth.
Right now, we're still purely speculation, as they say in the wrestling industry.
Lousy Wrestling Podcast.
Purely speculation.
But as a way to add more storage and processing power, they want to remove the headphone jack because obviously it takes up space.
Correct. Yeah.
But that will also turn everything to either lightning cable,
or
audio, or Bluetooth.
Yeah, so now you can't charge your phone if you have headphones.
It would fuck me here.
Yeah, hard.
That's very Steve Jobs.
That was weird to say.
I think that's going to turn out to be a genius move.
See, it sounds stupid. That's another thing I said.
They're ahead of their time, definitely.
That's what I was about to say.
It's going to piss off a ton of people.
In 2 to 3 years, it'll probably be the only way to do it.
Yeah, the complete norm for everyone.
And for them to be like, well, we're going to go ahead and just make the fucking move now, and you're
going
to get conditioned to it, is real ballsy of them.
Yeah.
So that's there.
When do you think Samsung's going to come out with that?
Exploding
I think
phones.
There's already one or two that do.
Exploding phones. Aren't their phones, the sevens, like, they're recalling all of them? Yeah.
Because they're exploding?
Holy shit.
Was it like wasn't the last iPhone the one you could bend or some shit like that, too? So, I know the new iPhone's supposed to be thinner.
Yeah.
As well. They've also announced, or they haven't announced anything, but you were talking about it earlier. They're doing away with 16 gigabyte thing.
Yeah, 64 gig and up. And I think they're making like a 268 gig one.
Woo.
It's insane, right?
To be honest with you, you need it, though.
You think 268 gigs? I have a 64 right now. I have like 11 gigs used.
I guess with an iPhone where you can't like download shit and store it on it. Like with an Android phone, the plus the Android phone was like, I could plug it in and it's a fucking flash drive, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I plug it in, I could drop. I could drop my mixtape on there and fucking listen
you
to
put
it.
Like movie files on there too, right?
Yeah, you can sit there and just watch movies and shit.
And you guys
so
can get emulators for like Pokemon or shit like that on it.
Yeah, you can play
iPhone.
You can play fucking
Pokemon Red.
Yeah. Have you heard of Pokemon Red like Inferno or something like that? It's all on the computer, but it's completely remastered and shit like that. It's all in color and stuff. It looks insane, but it's the original Red game.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The new Pokemon that came out that got banned.
I don't know. I haven't heard that.
It was like Pokemon like Nuclear or some shit like that.
What?
What happened there?
It was a fan-made game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like...
And Nintendo went in there and was like, stop distributing this or what?
Yeah. But it was like... It was it was trending online. Like, a lot of people were talking about that shit. It was... I don't know much about it. I'm not a big fan of Pokemon. I don't know.
I've been watching people play really awful video games. Bobby's been watching it with me.
Fun.
There's somebody named the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Yeah.
Paul.
And apparently this guy's been making videos since fucking 2004.
Wow.
Where he, like, plays really, really awful video games. And I saw, like, I've been watching him just to, like, see these awful, awful games.
I take it he gets mad?
He yells
for
fuck
no
and shit.
About dumb shit.
He'll be like, this is fucking dumb. I can't walk up here. I'd rather have a... Or he'll be like, this sounds so awful. I'd rather have a buffalo take a diarrhea shit in my ears than listen to this, like, and just start yelling at shit. So,
sounds entertaining.
I was watching all kinds of crazy shit where this dude, he was literally like playing this Atari game where fucking he's like crawling up ladders and then he's getting chased around by this naked person that grabbed his dick. He's like, what the fuck is this? And then if he made one wrong move, he fell in this pit. And then you have to swing back and forth on this fucking little thing. No, it was Porky's.
Okay.
And then he's like flying back and forth on this fucking
appropriately
thing.
Appropriately named?
To where he's got the movie. It's based on the movie. And so then he's got to go over this pit where he's got to fling up. And then he's like, all right, well, I'm going to build this ladder. And he grabs the little piece and puts it there. And it literally gives you one piece at a time. I was like, holy fuck, dude. Video games are so amazing nowadays.
It's insane, especially the jump in that short of time.
Holy fuck, man. I don't remember why I brought that up. There was something important.
I can't remember.
Too much vodka and orange juice to Sunny Delight, I guess.
I don't know. We were talking about Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
And then somebody shut down, yeah.
And then I started talking about awful games.
Insanely good.
That's where I was going. There's a goddamn bootleg game this dude was playing called, like, Hong Kong 97 or some shit. And it was like,
was there a 96?
No, but the game came out in 1995, which he was
fuck
like,
yes,
he's
rocks.
Like, he's like, they're predicting a game 2 years in the fucking future. But it was this,
or they just said it 2 years into the future.
That's fucking sweet.
It was this
like,
fucking,
that's sweet. Most people, when they think about the future, they think like really far
yeah,
ahead.
30 years. They're like, no, let's go two.
They're like
yeah.
2 years ahead of yeah. time.
People so, stop wearing buttons.
The main character, like the main character in the game was this guy named Chen. Yeah. And it was,
no one in the game has headphones in their yeah. phone.
Oh shit!
It was supposed. It no was supposedly jokes. Like supposedly like Bruce Lee's relative. It didn't even specify brother, uncle, cousin, son. Right, it was just like relative.
Yeah, you fill in the blank.
And his name was Chen, and they just used a picture of Jackie Chan. It was fucking hilarious.
That's how they got away with that.
And then like,
no, it's his relative. Don't
this
worry about
game
it.
Was so bad, dude. It was like even the they had this like it was like man, you have to kill all 1.2 billion communists is the goal of the game. It was like 1.2 billion communists have come into Hong Kong. You kill them all, which is like roughly wow. the population of China at the time of the game. Like it was like you just have to go kill all of wow. China. And then they literally used like a Chinese leader's name, and they were like, they're trying, the Red Party is trying to use
honestly,
his dead, they're resurrecting,
wow.
hold up.
We watched on that channel.
They're resurrecting this Chinese leader to use him as a weapon was their whole storyline. The Chinese leader at the time wasn't dead, but was actually dead by the time the game set in.
Whoa.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like so in 97, he was dead.
Yeah, but in 95, okay. he wasn't. Yeah.
Wow, that's fucked up.
Yeah, it was like predicted. I'm not sure, but I'm wondering if they resurrected his body for a weapon. But yeah, then this game had this song called I Love Tiananmen.
Okay.
I'm trying to find it because it's fucking just mesmerizing.
There was
awesome.
A game that we watched on that channel that he played that was like, it promoted like rape.
Yeah, there was some of that stuff too.
It was like a legit like Nintendo game.
Whoa.
From back in the day. Like I think it was like only released in like a different country.
Probably Japan.
But it was definitely like what you did in the game was you stalked people in the subway and then you followed them home and raped them.
Whoa.
That was the game. Mm. That was the game you played on
the Nintendo. On the Nintendo.
Who played that game?
This guy on YouTube, apparently.
Great marketing campaign.
That's a, there is some weird
like
stuff like that.
It was like the 10 worst games ever made that we were watching.
I watched one where this guy literally drove a bus for 8 hours. He was like, it was the same guy. But yeah, the video game. No, apparently, all right, here's the deal. Apparently, Penn and Teller.
Yeah,
you familiar with Penn and Teller? They're a comedian magician duo.
Yeah, one never talks.
They put out the guy named Teller never talks. That's the ba-dum splash. Okay, so they they put out a video game fucking thing, which was like four different games into kind of give you a fuck you to all the people saying video games were too violent and too much fantasy and they should be more real to life and things like that.
Yeah,
they made a video game where you just drove a bus straight. For 8 hours.
That's fantastic.
You did no turns, no nothing, no radio, nothing. You just drive straight.
No radio.
And then when you hit that 8 hour mark, it like turns your bus around and you head back for like 8 hours back.
So wait, so if you do the whole 16, do you win at least?
No.
Or does it just keep turning around?
That's keep
fucked up.
And they were like, you wanted a mundane real life game. Well, boom, here you go.
The unfinishable game.
Yeah. Anyway. I Love Tiananmen is this song. Is it up out here?
This was on the game? And what was
this?
This
was the Hong Kong 97 game.
What was that game for?
What's up?
What kind of system?
Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't released in America, though. Only Japan. This is my song, though.
What's special about the song again?
It's mesmerizing. Just listen. I can already hear it. I hear myself really loud, too. Okay, now just imagine this song repeating with never a break. Just repeats. And then
this is how people go insane.
And then
I see the credits to the anime.
But a never ending credits. Yeah. So you're just sitting there like, oh no.
And then you have to murder 1.6 billion.
This is a song that scores your murdering?
Oh. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you're murdering 1.6 billion communists to this song. It. But all right, so after I
what are the lyrics? Murder, 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 murder.
Yeah, seriously.
It's I love Beijing, Tiananmen. The sun rises over Tiananmen. Greatest leader, Chairman Mao.
Is that who they're resurrecting?
Leading all of us forward. No, they're not.
So that is brainwashing.
It was fucking weird. There was even like a Coca-Cola background. They're just murdering communists over the Coca-Cola background. It was really, really weird video game. Yeah. I was like, this was made? Wow.
Video games.
Yeah, video games, man. But anyway, I don't, what the fuck? This shit. I'm already like mesmerized. Like after I watched the video of the guy playing the game, I had to go to YouTube to find this song. And I just hit play on it and listened to it.
How long is it? This plays the entire time you're killing 1.2 billion people.
And it never stops. Even like if you die in the credits roll,
it's still going.
And then it goes back to the title sequence and you start the game again. And the song never stops, never breaks, never nothing.
Whoa.
They've been hypnotized. That's
some weird programming for the game, too.
I'm hypnotized already. Let's go kill all the communists.
I was like, is that how you guys end the podcast now? I miss a week.
Yeah, dude, you were gone for a week.
Yeah, I was like, wow, what a drastic change that was from let's have a good day to let's go kill all the communists. The Red Scare is real.
That's funny. One more time, Drano. What, it's just Dronimo Black on Instagram, Twitter. I mean, Instagram and Facebook. What was Twitter?
G-Black.
G-Black. Nardy Cool.
Yep. Nardy _ cool or Nardy cool. Just search it. It's going to pop up.
You got some music on Facebook and stuff too? Or?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
SoundCloud, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere.
I appreciate you guys coming. Sorry for brainwashing you with the Chinese music there at the end.
Oh, man, it's cool.
Right, let's kill all the communists.
Yeah.
Might listen to that.
Yeah, I love Beijing Tiananmen. You can look it up yourself, Nardy Cool.
Check it out. Nuclear bomb. I just hide.
You guys should put this to a beat. You guys should sample this whole song.
Oh yeah.
No. That sounds like the Cantina song from Star Wars.
I'm gonna hear this. What'd you say, Josie?
You guys are the only ones who can hear it. We can't really hear it. You're brainwashed.
I was trying to play it. I'll play it for all you guys right now. Alright, I appreciate you guys coming. Let's have a good day.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.